step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley and Nick Keyes are here with you. Joe Rex Road is on assignment the final hour here. So we'll catch up with Joe on Monday. As Joe's got a lot going on. He's on assignment right now. He's got the Tennessee-Kentucky game in Knoxville tomorrow. The deadline going on in the NHL, so a lot going on for him. The deadline today at 2 o'clock in the National Hockey League. So to set the scene for the Predators, they win last night 4-2 against Buffalo. They've won 9 out of their last 10. They've got a 10-game point streak, 19 out of a possible 20 points that they've collected, and that's the way that they go into this trade deadline in terms of the way that they played. What does it mean in the standings? After last night, you know, St. Louis lost to the Devils last night. Seattle did not play. They play tonight. And the Predators currently are 8 points up on Calgary, 8 points up on Seattle, and 8 points up on St. Louis. So a good night last night for the Predators. They've actually, for the time being, jumped ahead of Vegas for the first wild card spot. Vegas at 73 points with one game in hand on the Predators. Preds are jumped them for wild card one at 75 points. So Preds are looking like they're in good shape for a playoff spot. Some moves made yesterday. Yakov Trenin on his way out. He goes to Colorado. Preds get back a third round pick for him. And then a couple of prospects exchange between the Avs and the Preds. And then yesterday morning, really as the Predators were getting off the ice for morning skate, the Predators acquired Anthony Beauvillier from the Chicago Blackhawks. Beauvillier played in New York with the Islanders when Barry Trotz was the head coach. It's not been a great year for him. He's got, I think 4 goals combined, 2 with Vancouver, 2 with Chicago in over 40 games, 45 games played this year. So not a ton of offense coming from Beauvillier to this point. We'll see where he fits in with the Predators. So, Nick, that's a lot that kind of sets up the table here for the Preds today. And now with just a few hours left until the NHL trading deadline, the question is, are the Predators done or could there be more moves coming today? Let's start with this. What do you make of the moves the Predators have made to this point with Trenin out and Beauvillier coming in?
Well, it makes a whole lot of sense the way that they've gone about it, I think. But we didn't think... I didn't even think sitting in the press box in St. Louis going into that game that the Preds would buy whatsoever. Now, watching how they started all of this, Robbie, I don't know I've seen a Predators team any season. Maybe you have, but I don't think I've seen a team turn it around in one game and then continue it for the next 2 weeks like they have. It's been insane to watch. So that's where I have to start things off because they've been a really fun team to watch at times. And Andrew Burnett's talked about how they've kind of had some lulls in their game as of late, but that's expected, right? Yeah. I think moving on from Trenin makes a little more sense than I would have thought a few weeks ago, just because there wasn't really interest. You know, Trenin's agent kind of talked about how it was a good surprise is what I had heard just in terms of the deal going to the Avalanche. Now, will he stay in Colorado? That's obviously going to be a topic of conversation. this summer, I mean, he could go somewhere else and do just fine if he's in that right system. But Colorado's bulking up. You know, they also added Casey Mittelstadt. So everyone thought that Trennan was also a center yesterday, which I loved. So not that he couldn't do it, Robbie, but I thought that that was funny that he was thought of as the
yes.
Avalanche have added another center. Well, he's probably not taken faceoffs mainly as a center since like 2015. So there was that yesterday. I tell you what, though, Anthony Beauvillier, I don't know what to expect out of a guy like him. I don't know, just in terms of the way that he played with the Islanders. He scored some big goals, for sure. And when Trotz was there, I think he probably enjoyed the way that he brought the energy to every game. It's just what Andrew Burnett said last night as well. So I think that's a big question mark. It's a lottery ticket. You know, I heard that, you know, phrase tossed around yesterday. You know, that's something that you could just kind of gamble on that doesn't really cost you a whole lot. It's a fifth round pick. So just see what you got. And if the Predators thought that was an upgrade over Philip Tomasino or even Parsonen, they made that move. And so that was interesting in my mind, thinking back to what Trotz said on Stillman and Company earlier this week of, if there's an upgrade, I'm going to take it. If there's not, I might call up one of those guys. So that's my early thoughts on the moves so far. That waiver ad might just end up being a depth piece. Jarrett Anderson Dolan, also the second guy claimed off waivers from the Los Angeles Kings this season, oddly enough. So
yeah,
kind of a weird move, but nonetheless, the Predators are busy early on, Robbie.
Yeah, the Anderson Dolan move, I just it doesn't do a whole lot for me. I mean, he's been in and out of the league since 2018-19, and he's never really stuck. Like, there, you know, I don't have a ton of expectation for Jarrett Anderson Dolan, who they claimed off waivers yesterday. We'll see if there's an NHL spot for him. But I mean, honestly, I would rather them keep just playing Mark Jankowski right now than put Jarrett Anderson Dolan in the lineup. But that's just me. The Beauvillier part of this, I mean, one thing that's also really intriguing about him, and again, you know, Trotz knows him well. So obviously he still thinks that there's something there that Andrew Burnett can unlock bringing him here. You look at his playoff numbers. So Beauvillier, you know, the Islanders made a couple of deep runs early in Beauvillier's career when he was, I guess, back in 1920 and then 2021. So kind of the two COVID years, the Islanders made a deep run in the playoffs. And he had in the 2020 playoffs, they played 22 games. He had 9 goals, 14 points. And then the next year, 19 games in the playoffs, 5 goals, 13 points. So you're talking about 14 playoff goals in a 2-year span for Beauvillier. That's pretty darn good. Like, that's a pretty good stretch there of playoff performance that has been good. Now, he's not been back in the playoffs since then, and his numbers just in general have fallen off the table. So I mean, look, he's not a young guy, but you're talking a 26-year-old forward here that has ability and has demonstrated the ability at the NHL level. The question now is, has he completely fallen off as a player, or is there something that Andrew Burnett can unlock with him that gets him back to being a guy that's, you know, kind of like a 15 to 20 goal scorer in the league? If you can do that, well, then it's a great move, because all you had to give up was a fifth-round pick. If it doesn't work out, then it's not the end of the world. At the end of the day, you've only given up a fifth-round pick. So I think a low-risk move by the Predators to bring him in, I like it, and we'll see exactly where he fits in the lineup. In terms of what they could do today, it's really interesting. I mean, there's the Carrier situation that's still on the table. Obviously, they've not been able to come to a deal yet with him, so does Barry Trotz treat him kind of like the Yakov Trennan situation where there's no deal and you move him out? Does he keep Carrier around even if they don't come to a deal by the end of today? Is there an extension that happens with Carrier today? I'm interested to see on that front what happens. There's also the Tyson Barrie situation. You know, I'm looking at Frank Saravalli at Daily Faceoff is putting out his top available trade targets that are still left on the board. He's got Tyson Barrie at number 11. So could Tyson Barrie, would there be somebody willing to give up, you know, it's probably going to be like a sixth or seventh round pick. It's not going to be very much to take on that salary and bring Tyson Barrie into the fold. Those are the two obvious moves that I'm looking for. But I do wonder, Nick, could there be something that maybe we're not expecting? Barry Trotz looks at the team and says, feel pretty good about the playoff spot right now. I feel pretty good about the way the team has played as a whole, getting 19 out of 20 points. could Barry Trotz make a bigger move than maybe we're expecting today? I'm interested to see what happens there. I'm leaving the door open for that to be a possibility.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you can take off skaters like, you know, Michael McCarron, Cole Smith, and perhaps you could even take off Kiefer Sherwood. You know, those are the gritty guys that they've kind of gone to here the last few weeks. And look, I think to their fairness this season, they have played exactly to their role for what Andrew has wanted to see, right? Well, I don't know if you had to name an unexpected player. Early on, I had thought, depending on, you know, what the Predators were going to be, if they were going to be major sellers, I thought Colton Sissons might be part of that conversation, Robbie. I really did, because he's having a career season. And what could you get from a guy like that that's playing his very best hockey? I don't know. That'd be a great question to ask. Is that someone that would be moved? You know, he's from Vancouver. I thought, hey, maybe the Canucks, before they upgraded, could they possibly add someone like a Colton Sissons? I wasn't 100% certain. There was no rumor or any tie there whatsoever, but that was one thought that I had early on for sure. I'm not sure about anybody else on the roster. I think in Alex's case, just to touch on this really quickly, I don't think there is going to be a huge issue. I just think the main thing is what we've already talked about, is maybe it's just the term, maybe it's for how long they'd like to have him. Because look, at the very end of the day, you just added another prospect at defense yesterday. You have Mullendyke and a few other names as well, where the Predators might feel better about those. You know, Ryan Ufko, for one example, he's been killing it in college this year. He's the co-captain of UMass this season. There are plenty of prospects in the pool, and then you have the draft this summer. So how does that factor into what Trotz is thinking just in terms of Alex Carrier? He kind of alluded to on Tuesday, Robbie, that he was okay to keep him for a few more seasons. So maybe he's thinking a two-year deal. I don't think a three-year deal. If it is, maybe they would just give it to him, possibly if they could come to a better deal in terms of money. But I think a two-year deal might be perfect for Alex in terms of they might wait for Tanner to kind of develop. They might wait for Ryan Ufko to develop a little bit, because those are all two, you know, kind of similar to Alex Carrier. You know, I think Tanner is more dynamic and can score and make more, you know, plays and create some offense. But the Preds obviously have a conundrum, I think, at defense. And I think today Barry Trotz will address it in some way, shape, or form.
We'll have more on the Predators and the trade deadline coming up next. Deadline today at 2 o'clock. So it is deadline day in the NHL. What should the Predators do? What moves would you like to see them make? What move would you not like to see them make today? We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser here with you. The NHL trade deadline today at 2 o'clock. We're taking your thoughts on that. Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow as MTSU basketball takes on Louisiana Tech on the road. Pregame at 1:30, tip-off at 2 o'clock. Coverage available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com. Also, make sure you tune in to 102.5 The Game tomorrow as Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Florida at home. Pregame at 3 o'clock, tip-off at 3:30 with coverage available on the 102.5 The Game app and at GameNashville.com. We're taking your thoughts on the Preds. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I really hope the Predators stand pat. If they make any moves at all, I hope that they're not earth-shaking. I'm pretty pleased with where they are. And my question for the two of you is, based on where they are right now, not the future, whatever, but based on this group right now for the rest of the season and into the playoffs, what is it going to take for them to accomplish for you to say, hey, that was pretty good. I'll live with that. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, right now, I do think, based on number one, where the roster is right now, number two, where the expectations were for this group heading into the year, I do think making the playoffs would be an accomplishment. I know that there's a segment of the fan base, and I get it. We talked about this earlier this week with, you know, the Predators probably selling off a couple of years too late when it came to the David Poile stuff. They sold off last year. They got a lot of good draft capital in return. There is a big portion of the fan base that's tired of just like squeaking into the playoffs and being good enough to get in, but not good enough to do anything when you get there. Number one, the way they're playing right now, maybe they are good enough to do something when they get there. We'll see. But I do think this year's team is a little different. Like, they've reset things. They've reset the coach. They've reset the general manager. They've reset the timeline of kind of the expectation of what you're building towards. So I don't think making the playoffs this year, even if they are one and done in the playoffs, I don't think that should be viewed the same as it has been when they were continually trying to go for it. And then eventually they just got to the point where they had to sell off. I think the timeline of where the franchise is has shifted. So I think it's different. If they get to the playoffs, particularly if they get to the playoffs, obviously if they win around, but even if they take a Vancouver or an Edmonton or a Dallas or whoever it would be, you take them to 6 or 7 games in the first round. Like, I think there's some genuine excitement there of what you could be building towards, especially because, like we talked about earlier in the show, Nick, I feel like Luke Evangelista is coming along pretty well. You know, the defense core, that, as you mentioned last segment, they got to find a way to shake out here and see where Spencer Stastny and others fit in as they move forward here. But they do have a ton of assets. They do have a ton of draft picks right now that are playing in Milwaukee. So when you factor in the complete picture, if they can get in the playoffs, be competitive this year, and then you look at the 5 first-round picks or whatever it is that's played in Milwaukee this year, the 19-game winning streak those guys put together, some of the kids coming up through the pipeline, like I don't think it's too much of a stretch to look and say that the future looks pretty bright if those things come to pass. So
yeah.
I think you should be pretty excited about this group if they get in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that whatsoever. And I think my mind immediately goes back to what Andrew Burnett was talking about last night, Robbie, where it kind of surprised me that he did say that last night, that he said, hey, we're in it to win it, and we don't feel like we're retooling.
Do we have that clip?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's pull that clip up, because I think it's a great point. So, I mean, look, it's deadline day, and we've, you know, this is regardless of what players and coaches say, and Andrew Burnett kind of admitted this yesterday morning, it's a big day. Like, there's a lot of distractions going on this time of year for, man, am I about to get moved out? Are we about to add? Like, what's our team doing? And, you know, I asked Andrew Burnett last night after the game, like, what sort of message has this group sent with the winning streak that they've had and winning, you know, 9 out of 10 games, 19 out of 20 points? What sort of message does this send to Barry Trotz on deadline day? And here's what Andrew Burnett had to say to that last night after the game.
Well, I think that the group, you know, the message from the team, the way we played is, you know, we want to win. And we're not retooling and rebuilding. We want to win right now, and we're hungry. And, you know, when we do things that make us successful, the recipe that we do it, we're a pretty good team. And I think we proved that over the last 10 games. Now there's lots of hockey left. There's more growth in this group that we're going to need to get to. You know, there's going to be little bumps in the road, you know, kind of a little bit like I feel right now a little bit. So we're going to have to be able to handle that a little bit better than we've had in the past and just keep working.
Yeah, and so he's talking about, you know, we're here to win. We're not rebuilding. We're not retooling. And look, that's not surprising that that's the mindset from the coach and from the players, obviously. We've talked about that before, but I do wonder when Barry Trotz hears that and when he sees the way that they played, how does that influence the way he behaves today and what he's looking to do? It's really interesting.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I think when Montreal was here, I think one of the media members had asked about the direction that they had started off just with the season. Was it clear? Did you guys know what you were going to be? And how has this last win streak kind of, you know, changed that, honestly? And I think for the Predators, it really has changed. But in the minds of the players and in the minds of them, it's like, we've been trying to get to this point all season long. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Gus Nyquist and Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg. Yes, that top line has carried them. But then again, the depth scoring during this latest stretch has been what has made the biggest difference for them. And it's been that bottom line. And it's been Luke Evangelista, Tommy Novak, Cody Glass scoring a hat trick and regaining his confidence. That's what this group has needed. And so I think part of the fan base is going to be very pissed that they do make the playoffs. But I think one thing you can look at it for the positives is those are more big games. You know, the franchise, you know, is obviously going to benefit from those games and the money and the TV time and all of that. So that's great for the Preds. And if they do play a Dallas or a Vegas or whoever it is, a Vancouver, now those late games are going to be, you know, rough on me for sure. But I do think the Predators are going to be left in a much better spot if they have those games under their belt. I mean, if Luke Evangelista can say in 5 years that he went to seven games against the Dallas Stars or whoever it is in the first round and build off of that, they'll be better for that. And he'll be able to just reflect on that. And Tommy Novak and whoever else is going to be here for the long haul, you know, those guys are going to be able to build off of that, Robbie. That's what people are not looking at as deeply right now. And I think there's a lot of value with that. So is Barry Trotz
going to... Well, and I'll say this too, like, there's nothing to lose, right? Like, if you get to that point, I mean, the Predators are playing with house money if they get to the playoffs. I mean, you know, Vancouver's a little bit different because this is kind of like their first big run with this group, so I don't think there's a ton of pressure on them. But, like, Dallas, there's a lot of pressure on them to win with the roster they've assembled. Winnipeg, you know, with the roster that they've assembled, there's pressure on them to win. Certainly Edmonton. Like, if Edmonton surges up here and they end up winning the division and you play them in the first round, there's a lot of pressure on these teams. The Predators are not going to have any pressure on them come playoff time.
No, absolutely not. And I remember hearing Ryan Whitney even saying that he heard from a few players that the Jets are the biggest frauds right now that are a playoff team, which I find interesting. So not sure who he heard that one from, but that's intriguing nonetheless. But you're right, there's no pressure. It's all house money. It's all about who they could bring up. And remember, too, after today, they can call up as many guys as they'd like. So what are they going to do? Are they going to call up anyone from Milwaukee? I'll get to see them in person here in a few weeks, but you know, I'm intrigued to see who they think has developed enough to get a shot, because I feel like somebody's going to get called up, whether it's one or two guys here at some point. I don't know if you agree with me or not.
We'll see. I think a lot of that depends on the moves they make today and what the roster looks like, but it's going to be, it's a really interesting next few hours here. I mean, I've certainly got my eyes peeled on what could be out there. I mean, there's trade targets. We've talked about, you know, Toffoli's going to go somewhere today. It's probably not going to be with the Preds, but, you know, the Jason Zuckers of the world, you know, the Pat Maroon, could he be available? You know, Riley Smith from Pittsburgh, a nice scoring winger there. Like, could he be available? Could Barry Trotz get himself involved with any of those guys? And then there's the Carrier part of this. What happens with him today? Only a few more hours left. Deadline's coming up at 2 o'clock. So we're going to start to figure out the answers to that. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the NHL trading deadline. We'll get back in that to close out the show. Weekend Winners is coming up next. The Preds in action with a doubleheader this weekend. Kentucky and Tennessee coming up in a huge game tomorrow over in Knoxville. We'll get to all that and a whole lot more. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now
on ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Some movement in the competition. There's a lot to get into this weekend. Preds with a doubleheader. Tennessee and Kentucky coming up. Vanderbilt back in action. We'll get into all that and a whole lot more on weekend winners. So, firstly, standings update. Nick Kieser, a perfect 6-0 week.
Hell yeah.
With his lock last week in weekend winners. He has vaulted to the top of the competition. Joe Rexler went 3-3. I went 2-4. So the overall standings, Nick Kieser, 8-4, 1-1 on his locks, good for 9 points.
Just crushing it.
Joe Rexrode, 7-5, 1-1 on his locks, good for 8 points. And I am 6-6, 1-1 on my locks, good for 7 points. Kieser very excited about a lead in week two of the competition.
Absolutely. I started hot earlier in the fall when we had our pigskin pick'em season going, and that tragically ended for me, but looking to turn things around, Robbie. So good weekend for me. Happy about it.
It was a good weekend. We'll see if you can keep it up. Preds and Blue Jackets coming up. Some early morning hockey. 11:30 a.m. the start tomorrow for the Preds and the Blue Jackets. So some early games going on this weekend. Nick, you're in first place in the standings. So we'll go with you. Who you got between the Preds and the Blue Jackets on the puck line?
Yeah, I'll be live here from our network studios with Max Hurst tomorrow on that game, working the board and Max hosting. So stay tuned for that tomorrow morning at 10:30. Pregame show. I'm going to pick the Preds in this one, Robbie. The Blue Jackets have struggled mightily, and I think the Preds will take advantage of a Blue Jackets team.
Joe Rexroad has given me his picks. He's also going with the Preds, and he is locking down on the Nashville Predators to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. So Joe going with his lock against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm going to go Preds too, which makes me nervous, all three of us going Preds, because I kind of agree with Andrew Burnett. Like, they've not played as well the last two games, and they've been carried by the Forsberg line. But honestly, if Forsberg, Nyquist, and O'Reilly play as well as they played the last two games, that by itself will probably be enough to beat the Columbus Blue Jackets. So I'll go with the Predators. Preds and Wild coming up on the money line on Sunday, the second half of a back-to-back. That's a big one. Joe Rexroad's going with the Wild in that game. And Nick, I think I am too. I'm going Minnesota Wild.
Clean sweep, actually.
To take down the Predators.
Yeah.
Really?
Clean sweep. I mean, look, I think John Hines and his team come back with a vengeance, and I'm not sure what they're going to do before Sunday afternoon's game, but I just don't have as great of a feeling about this one as I did the last time the Preds played them. So, look, I think it's going to be interesting for sure. Now, who will the Wild have in net for that game? Obviously, Fleury's going to stay. Gustafson, I thought he looked okay against the Predators. But, look, I think Nashville can exploit them, and I think the Wild just come back with a vengeance in that one, especially in their own barn.
So going with a clean sweep for the Wild. Tennessee and Kentucky coming up in Knoxville tomorrow. Should be a great environment. According to the Joe Rexroad Sportsbook, the Vols are favored by 5.5. That's what the line Joe has thrown out there. I'm up first in this one. I struggle with this one because Tennessee, they got everything going for them. They're playing great. They're at home. The environment's going to be awesome. They just wrapped up the SEC regular season championship. I do wonder, now that they've wrapped up the regular season, is there a little bit of a hiccup in this game before they get to the SEC tournament next week? I'm worried about it, but I'm still going to go with Tennessee at home, minus the 5.5. I don't feel great about it, but I'll go Vols minus 5.5 at home against Kentucky. Nick Kieser, Kentucky and Tennessee. Tennessee, according to Joe Rexroad Sportsbook, favored by 5.5.
Joe's Sportsbook doesn't make it any easier for me this morning, but look, I had the same thought process when picking this one because I don't know if Tennessee is going to be, you know, coming out with as much fire as you want. But it is a rivalry game, and I'm interested to see how Kentucky does. They've been kind of inconsistent this year, so wondering how their defense does with a Dalton Connect. So I am still going to take the Vols in this one as well, Robbie. I just feel a little bit better about the Vols than I do those pesky Wildcats.
Well, Joe's going Vols too, so we so far have a sweep on everything. Sweep with the Preds, sweep with the Wild, and a sweep with the Vols in our picks. This never happened, so it's a little weird. We got to change things up. Florida and Vandy. Florida's favored by 10.5. Nick Kieser, who we got in this one?
I've got the Gators. I think it's just going to be a clean win for them. Vanderbilt, just they're trying to finish out their season. It's been a struggle bus. I think the Gators just come out on top in this one. Pretty plain and simple here.
Joe Rexroad is also going with Florida. Give me Vanderbilt. We're switching things up. I'm going Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt will cover the spread. They're not going to win, but I'll take Vanderbilt plus the 10.5. I think they lose by 10. It's a bad beat for you two, and I'm going Vanderbilt plus the 10.5 in this one. We move to the individual portion of the program. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
My first individual one is going to be, Robbie, the Oklahoma City Thunder will be taking on the Miami Heat tonight. Give me OKC and make it my lock to take down the Heat this evening.
What's the line?
The line, the OKC Thunder are favored by minus 8.5.
So you're going minus 8.5?
Yes.
Against the Heat.
Yes.
It's disrespectful, but I'll allow it. Joe Rexroad's first pick, Mississippi State for the upset against South Carolina. So Joe going with Mississippi State to upset South Carolina in some college basketball. I'm going to start in hockey. Give me the Detroit Red Wings, who just got sandblasted the other night by Colorado. Give me the Red Wings minus 1.5 against Arizona and make it my lock. I'm locking down on the Red Wings. I think they come out and respond in a big way. Arizona, as they typically do, is selling off. I think they'll probably sell off a couple of more pieces today. So give me Detroit minus 1.5 against Arizona and make it my lock. Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
I'm going to go different. I initially had that one as well, but I'm going to go with a different NHL game. And I don't know how they're going to respond against this Central Divisional team, but give me the Kraken plus 1.5 against the Winnipeg Jets this evening.
Ooh, Kraken plus 1.5 against the Jets. Kraken at home, that's a big game for them. Like, they need to, if they're going to make the playoffs,
big one, yes,
this is one they probably need to win. So Kraken plus 1.5 against the Jets. Joe Rexroad going with Duke against North Carolina. So going with the Blue Devils to upset the Tar Heels against North Carolina. So a couple of upsets that Joe Rexroad has called in college basketball. I'm sticking with hockey. I think Colorado's in a groove right now. They're taking on Minnesota tonight. Give me the Avalanche -1.5 at home against the Wild. I think they're going to be too much for Minnesota. I like Colorado in this game. And Nathan MacKinnon, I mean, you can make – look, it's always him and Connor McDavid kind of the conversation. I think you can make a pretty good case that Nathan MacKinnon should be the MVP this year, and he's playing like it, and he's been unbelievable. He's got like a 32-game point streak at home. So give me Colorado -1.5 against the Wild.
Okay. I like these picks, Robbie.
I like them too. It's going to be an interesting weekend coming up. You know, one thing that we did not get to in weekend winners, but I am interested to get your thoughts on. So Nashville SC is up 2-0 last night.
Ah, yes.
They end up with a draw 2-2. The final minutes, Suarez ties it up for Inter Miami in stoppage time last night. Messi with a goal as well. So Nashville SC had them on the ropes. It looked like they were going to walk out of there with a win. It's a draw. They'll take on Miami in Miami coming up. What do you make of the game we saw last night and then the rematch coming up against Lionel Messi and company down in Florida?
That's just rough. When you lose a two-goal lead after Jakob Schaffelberg has probably his best soccer game in his entire life last night. I mean, I don't want to speak for him, but I think in terms of his Nashville SC career so far, easily his best game. Man, that's just brutal to just blow a two-goal lead against such an elite team. And
especially now, when you get a goal taken off the board,
oh
too.
Oh, my gosh. And then now they're going down to Miami, probably the hardest place to play in MLS right now with Lionel Messi down there and Suarez. They got lots of electric guys for sure. It's going to be really rough. I know it's on aggregate, but if Nashville SC can somehow, I would be happy with a 1-0 win. I'd be happy if they put a few up or if they give up one. But also, too, one thing that I want to mention is Joe Willis had one hell of a stop last night right on Messi. And that cannot be something you just blink at. I think that was an amazing play by Joe. He was certainly lucky, but Joe is a damn good goalie. And
he was really good last night.
I'm interested to see how he does on Sunday, because Nashville SC, when they've played Miami to their credit so far since Messi's gotten there, they've done a pretty decent job at locking them down as best as they have. And I think it could look better at times for sure. I'm kind of curious to see how healthy Nashville looks, especially on a quick turnaround like that, Robbie. But we'll have to see how Sunday turns out down there in Miami.
NHL trade deadline is today. We'll give our final thoughts on the deadline, get you up to date with the latest moves in the National Hockey League and what the Predators may do today as the deadline's coming up at 2 p.m. Central Time. All that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios. Keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser, Joe Rexroad is on assignment for the final hour here, so he'll catch up with us on Monday morning. The NHL trade deadline is today. 2 p.m. Central Time is the deadline, so the Predators have a few hours left here to see whether or not they'll make any more moves. Anthony Beauvillier added yesterday. Yakov Trenin shipped out to the Colorado Avalanche. Predators also made a move on the waiver wire yesterday and picked up forward Jarrett Anderson Dolan from the Los Angeles Kings. So a couple of moves already been made. Nick, looking at what's out there still, you got some big fish still out there. Tyler Toffoli of the Devils, we'll see what happens with him. Riley Smith of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Max Pacioretty's out there. Pavel Buchnevich is out there. So there's some interesting names out there. Guys that the Predators could be interested in. Like, would a Frank Vetrano of the Ducks be somebody the Predators could be interesting in acquiring? Could there be kind of a lower cost middle six forward that Barry Trotz could go out to go after to boost the depth, maybe to add a little bit of scoring punch to the second line, maybe the third line? I'm interested to see what he does today. I don't expect, like, there's a lot of defensemen still available. I do not expect them to be involved in that market. I think they got to figure out their own defensemen right now before they get involved in that stuff. But we had somebody bring up, Mike Hoffman earlier on the show. in San Jose. That's an interesting piece. Could the Predators take a flyer on somebody like that? That probably wouldn't cost you a ton to add to your lineup. A lot of chatter about, you know, Colin Blackwell out there, the Blackhawks, that could be available as a depth piece. I don't expect a ton from the Predators today, and a lot of the big moves around the league have already been made. But I do wonder, as we've discussed throughout the show, how much more willing would Barry Trotz be to maybe go out and add a piece based on the way his team's played over the last couple of weeks here. Only a few more hours left until we find out here, but 19 out of 20 points to approach the deadline is a pretty strong response from your group that I'm sure Barry Trotz has paid attention to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think another name that I've kind of been interested in to see where he could possibly go, I know that Mike Hoffman, that's another good one that I didn't really think of. But maybe would they be, I mean, Vetrano is also not a bad one. I just don't know if the Predators would be interested in a guy like that. I remember before he got injured, Robbie, I don't know if Nashville would go for him currently. But I remember when he was, I think, still with Vegas, had just been traded to Carolina. I thought maybe Max Pacioretty could have been a fit for the Predators, possibly. Just the way that he plays and the offensive prowess that he has, I thought that would be an interesting player for them to kind of pick up on. You know, he was in the same conversation I had over the summer when I was talking about Max Domi as well. Could the Predators pick him up? Obviously, the Maple Leafs grabbed him. But look, I think at forward, it's going to be interesting to see, are they going to maybe trade some draft capital? They have 10 picks in this summer's draft. So they've got some first rounders. They've got some later picks to work with as well. So not 100% certain how they're going to utilize everything. Now, Jared's pretty dead set on them using this third retention spot. Now, what are they going to do with that? I don't know. I mean, they might not use it. That's the thing. You might be able to weaponize that into something else. And so the price is going to be really high for that retention spot. You know, Barry kind of talked about how he wants maybe a second rounder for something like that. Could also be maybe a first rounder if the price is really big, for sure. So I'm not sure who will get dealt around that, but you know, one dark horse is obviously UC Saros. I doubt he gets traded. I mean, that's pretty cut and dry that's over with. So fans can kind of put that to rest as well. You know, Kevin Lankinen is another name that I'm very interested into, along with Alex Carey. I think those two are my top, aside from Tyson Barry, obviously, but we've known about that for a long time. So I would say the goaltender, Kevin Lankinen, and Alex Carrier are my top two names to watch out for as this day goes on. 2 o'clock is the deadline. We've talked about that a bajillion times of what time it's going to end. Some trade calls will still be processed throughout the afternoon, so stay tuned for all of that. We'll have you covered. But yeah, Robbie, lots of insightfulness this morning, and looking forward to seeing how Barry Trotz approaches this first deadline all by himself.
Yep, it's going to be really interesting. Lankinen is intriguing to me. I don't know how much interest there's going to be in Lankinen. I think a lot of people keep bringing that up. I guess I'll believe that when I see it, that somebody is going to call and be seriously interested in trading for Kevin Lankinen. But we'll see. I mean, it's the goalie market is interesting because, I mean, there's Markstrom that has been out there, Saros, and now obviously with Saros on the heater that he's on, and the Preds with the streak that they've on, it changes the goalie market. So does there be a team that needs to bolster their depth at goalie that would take a look at Kevin Lankinen? And then the Carrier part of this, if there's no extension, is Barry Trotz willing to keep him on the team? Is he willing to keep him on the team and basically use him as, you know, kind of your rent-a-player with your own guy, and then either try to work out a deal in the offseason when he gets here, or be willing to lose him for nothing? It's an interesting spot with him. Like, as you've talked about, they gotta figure out what their defense is going to look like moving forward here and whether or not he's a part of it. I don't know what he's asking for. In terms of the term, I would not be willing to go long-term with Alex Carrier. And maybe that ends up being the difference into whether or not they can get a deal done. That's just not something that I would do. And I think Stastny's ready. I think Stastny's ready to play. So I don't think it would be the end of the world today if the Predators ended up moving him and they brought up Stastny to do it. So deadline coming up at 2. We'll have you covered all day long here today on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That does it for us. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. Hope everybody has a great weekend. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.